Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We continue our sermon series, Community, as we run up to Advent and Christmas. The Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, shares his reflections of community as formation. Our readings are taken from 2 Peter 1, verses 3 to 11, and John 15, verses 1 to 12. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
We now come to the readings from God's Word. In both of these readings, strikes me that they are instructions about the characteristics of our faith. So as we hear these readings from Shona and Johnny will read to us, let us perhaps think about whether we stand up to these measures of faith. Thank you, Shona.
First reading is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 11. Confirming one's calling and election. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. The gospel reading is from John chapter 15, verses 1 to 12, talking about the vine. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. This is the word of the Lord.
Just come to God as we open ourselves to hear his word. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words, which are life and truth. Speak to each and every one of us where we need to hear it afresh, and especially as a faith community, as we sung, that we will continue to put your Son, Jesus, at the heart and the center of all that we do and all that we are. Amen. So thank you very much, Ed, for introducing the series, so I don't have to go through that again. It's about community and what it means to live in faith community like this one in your local church. And we did start 2 weeks ago with thinking about being part of Jesus' new family, and we looked at how Jesus started with just 12 followers, the 12 disciples, and said, you know, he will give them the Holy Spirit, and they will form that kind of first community, and at Pentecost, not just them, but 3,000 started the church, and it hasn't stopped since. And now around the world, people meet in those buildings, not just as a normal community, but as a family of Jesus. And then the week before, there we go, we looked at community as a gift. And we had both. We had Mike Gillingham, who reminded us that it is by grace that we are brought in. It's a gift of God. It's not something we produce of ourselves. And then through your notes in the life groups also, that the very community of faith is a gift. And we're going to look a little bit deeper into that as we think of community as the place where we are formed into Christ-likenesses. This is the place where we grow as followers of Jesus. So the key message this morning is that community, and especially a faith community, a local church, is an essential and irreplaceable part of our spiritual growth. And why is that? Well, according to Jesus, we mature, we bear fruit, we glorify God by remaining in him. That's what we read in John. And by remaining in his love. And the love, remaining in his love, is expressed in loving each other. Like Jesus remaining in the Father's love was expressed by loving his followers, his disciple. We express, we remain in God's love by loving each other. So it's very practical. And the best place to do that is your local community, faith community. Your church is the fellowship you have with your brothers and sisters right here in this particular place over a long time. And we will think about that time, that remain, because that's a key word in our reading in John. Jesus says, remain in me. There we go. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. That's the whole idea of this passage. And the word, the Greek word for remain, is meno. It can be translated with remain or abide or stay. And it's used here more than 10 times in just that reading of John. And John particularly, we have the Gospel of John, we have three letters of John, and we have Revelation, the book of John. Well, half of all the words that are used in the New Testament, which are about 102 of this word meno, half of that, more than 50, is in those writings. So it's very important for John. And it not only speaks of our relationship with God, remain in me, Jesus says, but also about our relationship with each other, and in particular, with each other at a particular place. And so we've just read about Jesus speaking to his disciples, his followers, about remaining in him as I remain in you. And I need to kind of point to you, remain in me, you are the branches. I read those words as being spoken to me as an individual. I don't know how you read. Often that's how we read scripture. And there is a place for that. You know, we have an individual walk as a disciple. But Jesus speaks to his group of disciples. When he says you, it's plural. Remain in me, you group of people, as I remain in you, as I remain the center of your life together. And when we start thinking about that, it changes how we read that passage, and it changes how we understand what it means to be a faith community, what it means to walk together, and how God can be expressed only when we remain together in him. If you remain in me, you will bear much fruit. How, as a faith community, how at St. James are we going to bear fruit? By keeping Jesus at the center and at the heart of all that we do. And so the question is, when we start an activity, when we have a bright idea, is it because it's centered around Jesus? Or is sometimes our ideas and our bright center around, well, we've always done it this way? Or this is how we do things? Or maybe sometimes it's centered around my idea and my need to be seen, to be used. Is what we do always centered around Jesus? Is that our passion in all that we do here at St. James? Do we do it out of love and gratitude towards God? Are our acts of service nourished by that? And Jesus then says, my command is this, love each other as I love you. There is another passage, by the love you have for one another, they will know, they will witness, they will see that you are my followers. Just by that, people will see there is something different here. And we can be so busy with our nice ideas and our projects that we miss the most important, which is to remain in God, in Jesus, to have him at the center, and out of that, to love one another. This means we can only grow, we can only bear fruit together when we remain Christ-centered and in our relationship with one another. And it's not a new concept. It's actually the oldest story in the book, literally. It's how the story starts. From the very beginning, God places humanity, his image in humanity, creating man and woman in community. To live in relationship with who? With him, with each other, and in a particular place. And he says, you know, multiply, create communities where that's going to be expressed. Your love to me, your love to each other, and express that in a garden, in this kind of area where you can grow fruits, when you can be fruitful. And of course, the fall breaks down all those relationships. It's a breaking down of the relationship with God. It's a breaking down of the relationship of community between man and woman. And it's a breaking down of relationship with the place. They are expelled from Eden, from that place of blessing, and they become wanderers in the world. And yet the vision of John at the end, at the last book, is a renewal. It's when heaven comes down to earth, not earth going up to heaven, not us making our way to God, God making his way on earth. And that word, meno, is there. And God menoing with us, dwelling with us forever, with his people. Again, where relationships between God, people, and the place are completely restored. And our work as a faith community is to be signpost of that, to be a foretaste of that in our day and age. So I'm going to pause here and reflect with that question. Is it possible that one of the greatest gifts God has given you to grow, us to grow, and flourish as a Christian, is found right here, in this church, among these people? Now, I'm not just talking about the peoples you find it easy to be with. The one that makes your life easy and nice. I'm actually talking about the ones that challenges you. The one that tests your patience. The one you might feel talk a little bit too much, like your vicar. Maybe get under your skin. Also, you're like your vicar. Always blame the vicar. But could it be that God is using them to shape you? What if the biggest obstacle to our spiritual formation isn't today's shifting morals, although it's a challenge, or the polarization of our world, or the distractions of technology? What if the greatest obstacle is the temptation to believe that the grass is greener somewhere else? That there is a better place than the one you are in right now? Jesus says, it's by remaining that you will bear fruit. By abiding, by staying, by meno. When you surrender to today, with all its blessings, but also all its challenges, as the perfect set of conditions for your soul to grow. Jesus calls us to live today in the fullness of a faith community that is imperfect. Meno, remain, abide. What if the greatest agent of our spiritual formation is not found in chasing after the perfect church, but in remaining in one community over the long haul? Trusting that God is gentle enough and wise enough and loving enough to meet you and to remake you, to renew you right here, right now, among imperfect people and imperfect leaders. Isn't it tragic when good Christians, committed Christians, bound from church to church, never satisfied? And often the script goes like this. I was at this church until I disagreed with a leadership decision. So I moved to another church until I had a falling out with someone there. So I left and went to another church. And I stayed there for quite a while until the service no longer resonated with me. But now I have found a perfect church, St. James, yeah! The truth is, this isn't the perfect church. You're not surrounded by perfect people, I'm sorry to say that. You won't find perfect leadership here, not even from me. But what if God is calling you to remain? To be rooted here, to grow through the challenges, to love others deeply, and to bear fruit. For some of you who've been Christian for a while, you've heard often about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And you have there the kind of list there that we find in Scripture. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These realities can only grow when you live with other people. They can only grow in community. I'm going to show you a little clip from a movie called Evan Almighty. Evan Almighty? Yeah, I think that's Evan Almighty. It's the second film. You have Bruce Almighty, for those who know it, and Heaven Almighty. And just a little summary, Evan Baxter wins a seat in Congress, and so he has to move with his family to a new place. And everything seems to work well for him until, unfortunately, God appears, portrayed by Morgan Freeman, and you will see it in a little video. And he gives him an unexpected task. He asks him to build an ark in preparation for a flood. So reluctantly, he even agrees, but this decision costs him his seat on the Congress and turns him into a laughing stock into the community. And even his wife, overwhelmed by the situation, decides to leave him with the three children and to stay with her parents for a while, just to create a bit of distance, because it's just too much. And the scene you're going to see takes place in a restaurant shortly after she leaves her husband. But what is also important is that earlier in the film, she makes a prayer. And she prayed that with that new move, with this new job, this will be an opportunity, a chapter for them to bring the family closer. So that's important you know that, because that's what the conversation will be with Morgan Freeman, God, and her, because she had made that prayer. So let's see how it goes.
Oh, excuse me, can I get a refill, please?
Coming right up. Excuse me, are you all right?
Yeah. No, it's a long story.
Well, I like stories. I'm considered a bit of a storyteller myself.
My husband? Have you heard of New York's Noah?
The guy who's building the ark.
That's him.
I love that story. Knowing the ark. You know, a lot of people miss the point of that story. They think it's about God's wrath and anger. They love it when God gets angry.
What is the story about then, the ark?
Well, I think it's a love story about believing in each other. You know, the animals showed up in pairs. They stood by each other, side by side, just like Noah and his family. Everybody entered the ark side by side.
But my husband says God told him to do it. What do you do with that?
Sounds like an opportunity. Let me ask you something. If someone prays for patience, you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they prayed for courage, does God give them courage? Or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? If someone prayed for the family to be closer, do you think God zaps them with warm, fuzzy feelings? Or does he give them opportunities to love each other? Well, I gotta run. A lot of people to serve. Enjoy.
Now, I wouldn't mind a nice portion of that, you know, like a meeting we've got. All of a sudden appears a nice fish and chips, so that's good. But let's think about this. Don't we grow in patience by remaining near to those who actually test our patience? Is it not true that we grow in self-control when we resist the temptation to gossip or lash out in anger? Don't we grow in goodness when we stay in relationship with those who treat us sometimes poorly? If we pray for patience, if we pray for self-control, if we pray for kindness, goodness, for those fruits that God says will come, they will come because we live in a community relationship where those things are tested and when we can grow. And that's why Peter says, make every effort in our first reading, to add to your faith goodness, to add to goodness knowledge, to add to good knowledge self-control, to add to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. It's very interesting that it's only at the end of the whole process that love comes. Love doesn't come naturally. It requires effort. But it's not effort out of our own abilities, because the passage started with His divine power has given you everything. And again, when you hear the "you," it's not just a person. It's God's divine power has given this church, as a faith community, everything it needs to express the purpose of God, to live that life that will be dynamic, that will be creative, and that will be attractive to people in the world. It comes through our knowledge, and again, it's not head knowledge. It comes through our experience of the one who has called, our understanding of the love of God in Jesus, of His power in us, the gift He gives through His Holy Spirit, all the promise we have received in Him. So make every effort, because He's already given it. He has given you, as a church community, the ability to add to your faith goodness, and then to add to goodness understanding, knowledge, and then to add to knowledge the control, the self-control, the restraint, that when you really want to gossip about something, something inside says, no, I'm going to keep on loving, I'm going to keep on being patient, I'm going to keep on believing. And then as you do that, then you need to keep on, which is a persevering. You've done it once, now you've done it twice. It's getting a bit easier, but persevere. And as you do, well, something of God becomes to shine through you. That's godliness. You've put that into practice, and a characteristic of God is now being seen. And as that is seen, oh, you start really not liking each other. Actually, there's not as bad as me. And maybe we'll end up with real love, agape. And Peter says, if we possess this in increasing measure, so it's always, always going, it will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. That's the fruits. It's not being so busy with activities. It's entering that way of life where we connect it with God and really connect it with each other. Then we will be effective. Then people will see fruits. How can they love each other? They're so miles apart. They're from different walks of life. That doesn't happen. I can't see that in the world. What's the difference? Well, we know the difference. It's Jesus. It's trying to remain in Him. It's having God's presence with us. Whoops, I'm a little bit too far there. So spiritual growth this morning, the idea is that it only takes place when we remain. We remain in God, in Jesus. We remain in community, connected with one another in a particular place. Without community, we can't grow to become more like Jesus. We need each other. We need to be invested in one another. Now, it's true that sometimes circumstances means that you have to move to a different place. Now, I have moved more than 15 times, so I haven't been always in the same church. But that's because sometimes you're a student and you move to a different place, sometimes because of a job, sometimes because of family reasons, you have to move closer to your parents to look after them. Sometimes it's health and you have to move away to a care home. And sometimes it's true that a church culture can become so toxic and so unhealthy that only a move can preserve your own spiritual growth. That sometimes happens, that's true. But it's the exception, not the rule. God's goal for your life, that's an interesting one. Someone says, God's goal for your life isn't comfort. You're not here to be comfortable. God's goal for our lives is character development. And that means there will be time and areas of being quite uncomfortable, because that's how we grow, challenged. And to grow, we must abide in Jesus, and we must abide with one another. We must add to our faith goodness, and then to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and then persevere, And then something of God will start to shine and we will learn to abide with one another. Now, Sundays are a good start. But actually, if you really want to grow, you need to find a place where you can be also close in smaller groups. And so in our church, there are various ways. You can serve in teams. You can be part of the hospitality team, the welcome team, the prayer team, the worship team. There are different ways to be in smaller group where you can grow. The flower team. What other team I have forgotten? Shout it out. The bell ringing team, the IT team, the craft team, the kids church team, you know, the children and family team, the caretaking team, yes, the building team, you know, looking after, yeah, well done. But maybe God is calling you to actually initiate a new team too, and there are needs. We have growing numbers of a teenager who at the moment, no one is really looking after them. So what about a youth team? What about Ray, amazing, every week he's here, you know, and we've lost Janet. What about another band, just to relieve a little bit Ray so that he can enjoy also our time together? I don't know. We are thinking about a visiting team with people who are bound in houses or would like a little phone call or a card. And then also I have here our live groups, which are small groups that meet during the week where you do life together. And yes, there is an element of you choosing there, you know, but actually you end up with people that in normal life you might not have stayed with. And it will cost you something. Because I think a life group only works when you're committed to that group. It's very important. You know, when my life group is on a Tuesday, and when it happens, well, I don't have the excuse. I can't say, well, I don't feel very well. No. If I commit it, I try to do my best to be there. So there is a sacrifice. To live in community is always a sacrifice. Because we don't live for ourselves, we live for each other. So let's remain together. Let's grow together. Let's make every effort to possess all the qualities that has been described in our reading. They will keep us from being ineffective and unproductive. And by doing so, we will, as a faith community, bear much fruit and glorify God. A nice way to allow those words to sink in, we're going to sing a song that has something to do with bearing fruit. So if I can ask those who are singing and playing the instruments to come. And as we sing, continue to allow God to speak to you and to minister to you. Please stand.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.